I'm speaking from 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 to 23. You can turn there. The topics I'd like to focus on in this chapter are obedience and sacrifice. I'm going to read the chapter first here, and then we'll pray before we get into the word. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. And Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul summoned the people and numbered them at Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in it wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, go down from the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and the oxen, and of the fattened calves and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul and said to him, "Blessed be you to the Lord, I performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen that I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop, I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night." And he said to him, "Speak." And Samuel said, "Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission of which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, king of Amalek, and have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, and the best of the things devoted to destruction to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption as an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as I preach your word, I pray in faithfulness to your word that your word would speak through me, and that my words would be smaller, but that your word would be larger, and it would be known that you are good in your judgments of peoples and nations in the scripture as it's revealed here in 1 Samuel. I pray peace on my heart and my voice as I speak on behalf of you. In your name, amen. So a little backstory to Saul's life. Saul is a Benjamite, a son of Kish. He's a man of great stature, and he is more handsome than any of the land of Israel. He stands a head taller than anyone else. Saul has humble beginnings when, in chapter 9, Saul is sent on a mission by his father to bring back donkeys whom had gone astray and had been lost. But after a long search, Saul and his servant had not found them, and so they decided to go down to a town in the district of Zuph in search of a man of God, with the hopes that they might that he might reveal the location of the donkeys. Then we see Saul goes from a pauper to a king quite quickly. When he goes into the town looking for advice from the man of God, the man of God anoints Saul, but not yet publicly does not make him king. Saul summons the people together to reveal who will be their king, and Saul is chosen. But when they look for him, he's nowhere to be found. In fact, he's hiding among some supplies. And then later on in Scripture, we have the establishment of Saul's kingship and leadership in 1 Samuel 11, verse 8, where Nahash the Ammonite brings an army to besiege Jabesh-Gilead. This military advancement on Jabesh gives Saul the opportunity to make his first military advancement and to unite all the tribes of Israel as one military army. And his response when he arises, gets these men to come and attack Nahash the Ammonite, the response is 330,000 men. Moving on from this point in the narrative, when the Lord sends Samuel with a message to Saul another time, this message is a command. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, Samuel says, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel, so listen now to the message from the Lord." In Samuel's introduction, he's appealing to the office God has set him in to legitimize his authority that he carries as a prophet of God. Samuel makes it very clear that the message he carries is not his own. In fact, it is the Lord's, which he makes evident in his own words. "I am the one the Lord sent. Listen now to the message from the Lord." In verse 2 we read, "This is what the Lord Almighty says, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, ox and child." This command from the Lord through Samuel to Saul is a command that references back to Deuteronomy chapter 25, where the Lord says, "Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you came out of Egypt, how he attacked you on the way when you were faint and weary, and cut off your tail, those who were lagging behind you, and he did not fear God. Therefore, when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies around you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget." So we see that this is recorded in history, and Saul would have had access to that through the priests. And so this command comes up again in Saul's reign when and so Samuel relays that to him. So this is the setting which we find Saul in from his life moving forward. He's established as king, he's gained military power, and he has a command from the Lord now in verse 15 with a promise attached to it, which is assuring his success and military victory over the Amalekites. Jumping forward to verse 13, we come to Saul after the battle, after all the fighting has happened. In verse 13, we read, "And Samuel came to Saul and said to him, Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and lowing of oxen I hear? Saul said, They have been brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God." "And the rest we have devoted to destruction." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop, I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night." And he said to him, "Speak," that is Saul. I'd just like to note the fact that it mentions here that Saul told Samuel to speak after Samuel told him that he was going to tell him something. It just seems as though Saul is arrogant. Like you can see the arrogance in him saying and controlling the conversation, like, oh, yeah, speak, as if Samuel was not going to speak. But Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And then Saul will give excuses as to why he has not obeyed the voice of the Lord. He will give excuses for partial obedience, but then he says that he has spared Agag, the king, and the army has also spared the oxen and sheep and the best of the cattle. But then jumping down to verse 22, we see it says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. When in verse 22, the question, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? This is a really good question If we turn to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 to 14, this references the Lord's response to sacrifices the Israelites were giving in that time of history for the nation of Israel. And in verse 11 it says, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and a calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. Come back to the question, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in as much as obeying the Lord? At first glance, it seems as though the Lord detests sacrifices, let's stop to take a quick review of a commentary on this from Matthew Henry. Says the most costly devotions of wicked people, without thorough reformation of the heart and life, cannot be acceptable to God. He not only did not accept them, but he abhorred them. All this shows that sin is very hateful to God. If we allow ourselves in secret sin or forbidden indulgences, if we reject the salvation of Christ, our very prayers will become abomination. So Israel was performing sacrifices, believing that the works of their hands would attain them righteousness, righteous standing with God, as made evident in the Lord's response to his people in verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 1. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. That is to say, I do not delight in the number of your sacrifices. I do not approve of your multiple sacrifices and the fat of them. That does not please me. A good intention will not excuse a bad action, neither will a sacrifice allow license to sin. I do not mean to say that sacrifices are not important, but because God has instituted sacrifices and he does not regret his system, but he has had enough with his people using and abusing the system, misunderstanding it. But what I mean to say is the Lord delights more in obedience. In John 14, verse 15, it says, this is Jesus speaking when he's in the upper room. If you love me, you will obey my commands. You will obey my commandments. Later on, after the upper room discussion, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he submits himself to the Father in obedience to him and says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will be done. Matthew 28, verse 39. It is important to note that Jesus made himself obedient to the Father before he gave his own life as a sacrifice. This seemingly small detail is of great importance. Obedience is greater than sacrifice because obedience is a display of love, of a love for God. Our obedience can come from a fear of God. It can come from a feeling of duty we feel towards God. But obedience ought to come from a love for God. A sinful man will sacrifice to the Lord, but may not obey him. A man whom the Lord has elected unto salvation will obey the commandments of the Lord, and because he loves the Lord, he will offer sacrifices. Then we come back to the end of the last half of 22, where it says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Rebellion is an opposition towards God and is like the sin of divination. Divination is the seeking of other gods, and so when we rebel against God, that is rejecting him, in a sense, to seek something other than him. And arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. When we act in pride and arrogance, we set ourselves up higher. We sidestep the commands of the Lord, and in disobedience make our own way. Arrogance sets our thoughts higher than God's thoughts and our ways higher than God's ways. This is the sin of idolatry. Why then is obedience better than sacrifice? Obedience displays our love for God. Saul was obedient on some levels, but was ultimately disobedient. Partial obedience is in fact disobedience. Let us do as Jesus did in Gethsemane by bending our wills to the Lord in obedience to him and his commands, and so providing and so proving our love to him. Yeah. That's all I have, so I'm going to end in prayer. Heavenly Father, in your word you have said that your word will not return void, and I pray that as your word has been spoken today, that your word, what has been said of you and what you have said, would not return void in the hearts of the men today, and that you would be speaking to them and cause them to want to love you in obedience and show their love for you in their obedience, setting an example for their families and for each other. In your name, amen.